and power. Praise his name. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a good day to be alive, and we just thank God for another day's journey. Good morning, and welcome, Blog Talk listeners all around this beautiful world to Running for Christ Ministries Saturday morning worship service. I am Kathy Clyburn, your presiding person for this Saturday morning worship experience. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly, and we ask that you tell someone else that this Saturday worship service is happening. And as always, we will start out with scripture and prayer. And at Running for Christ Ministries, we believe it's vital, and the Word of God tells us so. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our paths. And we have this morning to help us do so is our very own Sister Keela Freeman. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Ms. Freeman. Thanks for being with us this morning. Take it away.
Okay, good morning. Today's scripture is coming from the book of Romans, chapter 12, verses 1 through 13, a living sacrifice to God. Again, a living sacrifice to God. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think that you are better than you really are. Again, you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is given, give generously. If God has given you the leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong and hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection. Take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them and always be eager to practice hospitality. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today for this opportunity to once again offer up to you some much-deserved praise and worship and thanksgiving. We ask that you fill with your Holy Spirit everyone who will take part in this worship service. We ask that you hear and answer the prayers of faith that are lifted to you by your people in this service. We ask that you bless the preacher with the word from you for all of us to hear and obey. We ask that Jesus Christ be lifted in the songs, prayers, and preach word so that all those who are lost will be found. Dear Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it is mighty and wonderful name that we ask these blessings. Amen.
Amen, amen. You know I love that scripture, and you said it was a lot of conviction. Very good. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Keela. And you have
welcome.
A wonderful day. Okay.
Thank you. You do the same.
Thank you. All right. Now that we have acknowledged our ways unto the Lord, we will continue to be ministered with our song selection service with our very own shepherd, Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor.
Just say yes, you lead the way. I'm not afraid of what it means for me to say that this life you gave is not my own. I'm trusting you to hear my yes and lead me on. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. My life is yours.
I'll just say yes.
Yes, Lord.
Say yes,
yes, Lord,
yes, Lord.
Yes.
Lord.
again. Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
My life.
My life.
It's yours.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Anywhere you want me to go.
Yes, Lord.
Anywhere you need me to be, Jesus. My life is yours.
Yes,
to your will.
Amen. The Lord won't stop waiting on that yes. Amen. We don't have to be concerned about all of these things that the Lord is allowing to happen in our world, right in our face. That's not our concern. We ought to be living in the land of Goshen. Even though Egypt was being completely decimated by the judgments, which was really acts of mercy by God, trying to turn them toward them. They make them all run over there and hang out with the Israelites and escape this trouble, but they did. Amen. So God wants us to be able to say yes.
Yes. Yes.
Even at a time like this, the Lord wants us to say, yes, I will go out and tell people that Jesus died and rose again according to the scriptures on the third day for our justification and salvation. Yes, I'll go out and tell somebody how they should live for Jesus, help them to walk in the word that the Lord gave us to walk in. Yes, I will use every resource that God gives me, amen, because he's the source that supplies the resources that we need to do what he said in Luke chapter 16 and verse 9. He said, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourself. So when it's all gone, you'll be welcomed into eternal dwellings, amen. All the Lord want to hear from us is yes. He don't want to hear, I'm concerned about COVID. I'm concerned about my job. I'm concerned about my family. Jesus said, cast them cares on him because he's the one to care for us. All he want to do is say, we want to hear it, yes.
Hallelujah. Today we want to sing a chorus. And it's a chorus of surrender to the Lord. We want to say yes to Jesus. We want to give our all to him. We want to totally surrender to him so that he can take control of our lives and so that his will can be done in our lives. That's his will for each and every one of us. So we want to sing that song to him today, and we want you to lift your hands as we worship the Lord with this song. And we're going to sing yes to our God. Jesus. We thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you, Jesus, for your presence in this room right now. And we thank you, Jesus, that you are great, and you are mighty, and you are real, and you are pure, and you are holy. We love you today, Jesus. And we're so thankful, God, that we could lift our praises up to you. We're so thankful, God, that we can worship you in spirit and in truth, because you are worthy, Heavenly Father. For we truly adore you today. We love you. We magnify you. You are everything, Jesus. Hallelujah. One more time.
Amen. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body.
I've been captured by a love I can't explain. And now you have me, I'm forever changed. I've abandoned everything I've ever known. Now I surrender. My life is not my own. I belong to you. I belong.
My life is not my own.
I belong. I give myself. Come on, can we say that all over this room? Say, my life. My life is not my own. I give myself. Come on, with your hands lifted high all over this room. Come on, tell them again. Say, my life.
Life is not our own. We give ourselves to you, Lord. Our life is not our own. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor, for those blessings and songs of faith and testimony. Our hearts have truly been moved and encouraged. Which takes us to thank Pastor God, the only one who can meet all our needs. Come to the altar with all your cares and concerns, because there is power in prayer. Following this next election, the next voice you will hear is our very own Associate Pastor Terrence Tate, offering prayer and petitioning God on our behalf. Meet us at the altar and prepare to receive Associate Pastor Terrence Tate. Pray to the Lord. Amen.
First of all, for the privilege to come to the altar as a collective body to talk to you, Father. You are a prayer-answering God. You said in 1 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, that you would and turn from their wicked ways, that you would forgive their sins and heal their land. Father, we're coming to you as a collective body today, seeking your face, humbling ourselves before you as a living sacrifice for you, to pray to you, the prayer-answering God. Father, there are some of your people out there listening right now who need a physical healing, Father. I don't know what kind of physical healing they need, but you do. Let them know that that need is already met, Father. There are some people out there that need emotional healing, Father. I don't know what kind of emotional healing they need, but only you do. Father, this world needs revival, but revival won't get done until the church wakes up and begins to pray for revival. Father, you said in your word in Philippians chapter 4, 6, and 7, you said, make your request known unto God. Father, you will answer our request, but only if we will take the time to tell you what we need done. Father, you said in your word in 1 Peter 5 and 7 to cast your cares upon me because I care for you. Father, what you're telling us is we don't have to worry about what we need because you will provide us with what we need. Father, you said in your word in Isaiah 40 and 31, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Father, help us, help the church as a collective body wait on you, wait on you to renew our strength as we run this race. Father, this race isn't easy, but with your strength, we can get through it. You said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Father, there is nothing that we can't do with your power. Fill us up with your power. Fill us up with your wisdom. Father, we're so used to asking for material things, Father, that we can't even see that you want us to have spiritual blessings in high places. You want us to be filled with spiritual wisdom. The Bible says, my people perish for the lack of knowledge. Father, you want us to know you on a personal level, Father, I ask that you help us understand who you are through your revealed word. Father, we pray for the people in Israel and Gaza. Father, give them the understanding that you are there with them. You will get them through it. Father, no matter what they go through, you have sent people to pray for them. So Father, I ask that you ease that tender in Israel. I ask that you ease that tender in Gaza. I ask that you give them the strength that they need to get through the troubled times that they're going through. Father, once again, you said in your word, in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Help them know that if they wait on you, their strength will be renewed and their prayers will be answered. Father, we pray for our leaders. We pray that they will see and understand that what they're doing to this country is not of your will. Help them see, help us see that we are the chosen vessels to go down there, to go and tell them that what they're doing to this country is not of your will. Father, we ask that you help us line our will up with your word. Father, your will cannot be done on this earth if we the church don't wake up and start realizing that the reason why you put us here is to work for you, Father. We're here for you. This is not our home. We're just passing through. But Father, we ask that you help us see that the world needs you. Help us not be so prideful. Help us to be full of love, full of wisdom, full of the knowledge of your word, because the only way the world will see you is if we, the church, will begin to wake up. And if we begin to pray for you, Father, there are some of your people right now who are going through the domestic violence situations, Father. Ease that tension off of them. Give them the grace to get through it. Give them the knowledge to seek your face. Give them the understanding that what they're going through is not of your will, Father. And I just ask that you fill the church up with a heart of compassion. Fill us up with compassion to the point where we don't understand that to the point where we understand that you told us to do your will. In the name of Jesus, I pray this prayer right now. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Terrence, for making our request known to God. Appreciate you. Have a good day. Thank you.
You too.
Great. All right. We're having a great time this morning, enjoying, and I am really enjoying this service, and I hope you are too. And I want to say thank you for allowing me to be your presiding person. And as always, if you have been blessed by this Saturday worship experience, then be a blessing to others and let them know that this Saturday worship service is happening. Share the love, the joy, and the blessing. Amen. Okay, time for the preach word, a message from God. The best part, icing on the cake. The next voice you will hear following this song selection is our beautiful, spirited sister and minister, Janine Folks. Let's prepare to receive Minister Janine Folks. Come in her own way with the word from the Lord. Amen.
Let's take it back.
Oh, yeah. The very first thought on my Good morning. Good morning. Praise the Lord, Running for Christ Ministries. There is nobody like him. Nobody like our God. Good morning. Good morning, Pastor Overall, Lady Sheila, associate pastors, deacons, trustees, members, family, and friends. I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I've had quite a morning already, so I won't be before you long, but I do have to drop this word on you. So please excuse me and forgive me if I seem to be getting through this pretty fast. And yesterday I learned that I needed to be at the hospital for someone today, and then I got a call as soon as service started that they had passed. So when I am done here, I am going to head off to see about this family. But this word must be important because everything that could get in my way kind of did, and everything that I hoped wouldn't happen kind of happened. But I just remind myself always that all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and who are called. And sometimes things don't go as we plan or as we hope, but we still have to keep going. We still have to seek the Lord, his faith, and do his will, and he will make a way. He makes a way out of no way. That's just what he does. He loves us. He's our provider, and he works things out for us. And I'm laughing to myself as I'm sitting here, and I've never done this before, preach from my car. So I'm actually sitting in my car, but I think it's a beautiful thing that I am able to do this, to sit in my car and still bring a word that God makes a way for us to do what we need to do, and he empowers and enables us to do it. For this day, thank you for this time of fellowship, Lord, even this virtual fellowship. Lord, thank you for the hearts that seek you, that seek to serve and please you, and also, Lord, to learn from you so that we can take those nuggets and go out and do your work, so that we can be empowered, so that we can be equipped to do the work of the Lord that you have called us to do. So right now we ask, Lord, that you would speak. Lord, that you would just send the information that you want your people to have right now. Give us what we need, Lord, our provider. Lord, your word says that how can we hear without a preacher? And Lord, it's an honor that you would even allow my voice to be used. It baffles me, but Lord, I thank you, and I just ask that you would speak today, even, no matter how short or what, that your word would penetrate through our hearts, our minds, our spirits. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Today I'm going to be coming from the book of Psalm 133, verses 1 through 3. It's a familiar passage. It seems pretty simple. And I'll start in verse 1. Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon, descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Now I want to repeat verse 1. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren and sistren to dwell together in unity. And today I want to talk about the quest for unity. The quest for unity. Think of unity and what unity means to you. It can mean a lot of things depending on your worldview. Unity, togetherness, agreement, joining forces, working together, being together. And it also, in my mind, unity means power, because we know that there's power in numbers. So when we unite, come an even greater force. I mean, we're already a force, but when forces unite, the multiplication is exponential. So this is a powerful thing in our quest for unity. And it's ironic that now we don't see a lot of unity. We feel so much division right now. And some people say that the world is currently more divided than it's ever been. But it seems to me it's always been divided one way or another. Well, not always, but for the most part, there are varying political views. There's division there. And it's hard to find unity in politics, which is why most people avoid even talking about politics, because you don't know what people think, how they feel, what their views are. So there's a struggle for unity there, even with religion, with doctrine, interpretations, how we can all read the same thing and take away a manifold meaning from it. So many different interpretations, and it's hard to be united on what certain scriptures or what certain doctrines mean. Unity, to wear a mask or not to wear a mask. That's another thing, an issue that divides us and makes unity hard. To vaccinate or not to vaccinate, to support Israel or to oppose them, to be liberal or conservative, grace versus merit, Chick-fil-A versus Popeyes, Coke versus Pepsi, should I spend, should I save? There's a lot of polarization in our world, so many differences in opinion. We wonder if unity is something that is attainable. Yet we are still on that quest for unity. And even when sides are polarized, very often both sides have some valid points, but it's hard to find unity. And what we seek for is a common ground, I guess, somewhere where we can come together and agree on something. And consequently, there's a lot that is not good in the world, and there is a lot that is unpleasant right now. There is chaos. There is unrest. There is war, there's disagreement, there's fighting, there are people destroying others because their main concern is having their own way, and the greater good is irrelevant to them. And some are just ruled by the devil, and it's hard to find a place of unity. And even when we find some unity, it seems like it's a struggle to maintain it and hold on to it. So we are on this constant quest for unity because we do recognize the power in unity. And we like for life to be good and pleasant. Who doesn't want things to be good and pleasant? And many of us say we do, but then sometimes our actions are contrary to what is conducive to goodness and things that are pleasant. But even in the midst of all the mayhem that we're surrounded by, God gives us peace that passes understanding, and we hallelujah anyhow. We find strength in the Lord's joy, and that is the blessed assurance of being a child of God. That is one of the many benefits. And then Psalm 103 comes to my mind when I think about his benefits, where David said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, even in the midst of chaos and discord. Forget not his benefits, the one who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." So even in this world, this broken world full of discord, we have so much to be grateful for, so much to praise God about. And as children of God, we find ourselves on this quest for unity because we want to bring people together. We want to minister. We want people to know this joy we have. We want them to know the salvation that they have access to. We want to pull as many people into the fold as we possibly can. We want there to be more goodness and more pleasantry. And not only that, we're called to discipleship. And this is one of the ways we try to get God's people on one accord. Now, in the book of Acts, we do read about a time when unity happened in the upper room, and they produced an atmosphere where the Holy Spirit came down, and they call it Pentecost. And in Acts, it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and that one sat upon each of them. And this is such a glorious incident and an occurrence that there have been so many attempts to recreate this scenario. We want to experience this presence and power of unity and the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we find ourselves trying to conjure up a scene like this as if we could force the hand of God. Now, we can create the atmosphere that would be conducive to welcoming God's presence, but it's up to show up. And we have to let his presence be authentic, not manufactured. There is an appointed time. Habakkuk talks about it in Habakkuk 2, verse 3. When he talked about writing the vision and making it plain, he also lets us know that we need to be patient. He said, though it may tarry, it may delay, it may lag, or it may linger, he said it comes at an appointed time. And we have to respect the appointed time. We have created such a culture of make it happen mode that we forget how to have patience. We forget that sometimes God tarries. We forget that there is an appointed time, and doing things prematurely can be detrimental. And sometimes delay is part of the plan. When there is a delay, our faith should then be activated, and we should be reminded that we have to wait for the appointed time, not our time, in due season. We do our part, and then we trust God with the unification. We trust God to bring the unity. God knows how to touch hearts. We do our part like Romans 12 tells us when Paul said in verse 18, if it is possible, as much it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Really all you can do is as much as it depends on you, and that tells us that we can't control everything. We can't control how other people react or how they feel or whether they want to join forces with us or be united with us. We can only do what we can do and live peaceably with all men. And then the rest of it is up to God and how they respond to God and how he touches their hearts. But what Paul does remind us of in Romans 12:16, he said, be of the same mind toward one another. Now, this is the way to unity. Our quest for unity. Where there is unity, of course, there is indeed strength and there is also peace. Now, even Rodney King recognized the importance of unity as evidenced by his plea, can we all just get along? So this has been going on for a while where we just don't all get along, and it causes a lot of discomfort. It causes pain, heartache, all kinds of trouble. So that's why we are questing for unity. Now let's take a look at this scripture. Now this, the word behold, which means to take notice. So David draws our attention to something good and pleasant, which is unity among the people of God. It is good because it reflects God's heart and purpose of unity among his people. Now, John 17:20-23, he says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be as one, as you, Father, in me and I in you, that they may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me, and the glory which you gave me I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. It is pleasant because it makes life together as God's people so much more enjoyable than seasons when there's constant bickering and conflict. How good and how pleasant. Now, not everything that is good is pleasant, and not everything that is pleasant is good. unity among God's people such a remarkable blessing, because it is both good and pleasant, and both to a high degree, and, you know, indicated in the repetition of how he said it twice: precious and profitable, sweet and delectable, dainty and goodly, as it says in Revelation 18:14. Communion of the saints is next to happiness upon earth to communion with God. For brethren to dwell together, David had in mind the relationship that God's people would have with one another, not with the world around them. Believers would have to work good and peaceable relationships with others, but here the focus is on relationships among God's people. For brethren to dwell together in unity, this unity is tested because these brethren dwell together. In many ways, it's easier to have some kind of unity between those to dwell together means bonds of unity and peace will be at times tested, and we all know that in any relationship, family, marriage, friendship, there are going to come times when you don't agree on everything. So, but we understand why unity is so good and pleasant, and why we desire it, and why God wants it for us. So why does this seem so hard to attain? And this is one of my struggles, and this is one of the things that I'm in God's ear about often. And when I ponder about unity in the world and what the world would be like if everybody could be in agreement, was there ever a time when the world agreed? Is that even realistic? Well, the Bible does tell us about a time, and I'm going to be very surface with this. I'm not going to be deep or getting into any commentary or deep breakdown of this passage, because there are so many variations in interpretation. This could be another thing that theologians cannot come to an agreement on, which is a demonstration of what I'm talking about today. So just very surface, taking this passage at face value. Genesis 11. Remember the Tower of Babel? It says, and the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said to one another, "Two, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone, and slime they had for mortar. And they said, "Go, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach up to heaven, and let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, "Behold, the people is one, they're one, and they have all one language." And then they began to do, now that nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. So they became unstoppable because of their unity. And then God says, "So let us go down there and confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from this for the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. And therefore, the name of the city was called Babel, because the Lord did it there to confound the language of the earth. And from that point on, the Lord scattered them abroad the face of the earth. Now, during that time, there was unity until God broke it up. However, what they were trying to do, even though it was powerful, was not a part of God's plan or intent. So he had to intervene. They were trying to preserve what they had. You know, they didn't want anything to change. So preservation and making a name for themselves, they attempted to build this tower. And it appears that they were trying to create a safe haven. Now, to me personally, it sounds like an interesting concept. However, that's just me. But we know that God's ways are higher, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. And it's easy for us to sit back and be critical and say that what they were doing was sinful and crazy. But if we're honest, if we were there, we don't know what we would have done or how we would have felt at that time. And just like we often bash Eve for eating the forbidden fruit, and I think it's arrogance that we would think we would have made a better choice. Of course, we have the benefit of hindsight. They did not. We know what the better choice is. Now, those who were united at Babel, they made that decision based on the information they had. And it's wild because there were enough of them who thought it was a good idea that they went along with it. In fact, they all agreed. We don't hear about any arguments or anyone protesting building the tower. It seemed to be unanimous. Who's going to go against unanimous? And that unity was powerful, but God had other plans. The tower had to be stopped. It was not God's plan. And then God did exactly what they were trying to avoid. They did not want to be scattered, but they ended up being scattered. And that's the thing we have to be careful of. A lot of times the thing that we don't want to happen is the thing that needs to happen because we are not all-knowing. We are not all-wise. So there are some decisions that we cannot intelligently make because we don't have all the information. The information we have is so limited. God is the only one who has all the information. He's the only omnipotent one who can make the best decisions because we are limited. And then after things happen, then we have hindsight. But when before there's hindsight, we're just very, very limited. And I think about often how God changed the languages. I wish I was bilingual. I have tried to learn Spanish. I have tried to learn French, and I just can't get it. I've been surrounded by Spanish-speaking people, and I just couldn't pick it up because everything blends like one. I don't know where the words separate. And I could read it and say, well, this means that. But when I hear it audibly, I cannot decipher the words. So I commend anybody who is bilingual or anyone who knows more than three or four languages and can speak them fluently. That blows my mind because my brain can't even comprehend a second language, let alone a third or fourth. But there are people in this world who are able to do it. And God made so many different languages, and that just is amazing to me. That if so, all these different languages were created and people went different ways, God had to know that it would be almost impossible to bring them back together, that they would unite again like they were before Babel. It's almost like, have you ever played with a Rubik's Cube and how when you first get the Rubik's Cube, you know, you got the red on one side, blue on one side, green, all the colors are lined up. But then as soon as you start turning it and mixing up the colors, it is very, very difficult to get it back together. Now, in the past, I have solved the Rubik's Cube a couple times, but I tried it recently and I couldn't do it. You know, there's always that one or two pieces that don't go back. But the way I saw the Tower of Babel was like turning the Rubik's Cube. How do you get it back? How do you get it back? And how do you get people to think the same after thinking so differently? How do you get them to have the same ideologies, the same political views, the same opinions on to wear a mask or not to wear a mask? Is that even possible? Do you think that's possible? Everybody has their own worldview based on their experiences, things they've gone through, things that have happened to them in their lives. It shapes the way they see the world. Everyone has not had the same experience that you have had. They've not been exposed to the same teaching, to the same upbringing, the same environment. Everybody's worldview and life experience is different. So how can we expect to think alike? Things have impacted us and our thought processes. And that's something we have to keep in mind. Now, I think about this often. You know, sometimes God divides, and that's what he did here. When God disrupts for the greater good, he does that sometimes. And sometimes he will separate relationships in order to save you or deliver you. There are just some things that we're not supposed to be a part of and some change that has to take place. And even though we're resistant to it, God has to do what he has to do. He is the one who is omnipotent. Now, when God rearranges our lives, sometimes he has to pull us away from people, from situations, and it has to do with God's plan for your life, things that we don't even know about. And sometimes he'll pull you away from people, not because they're bad or because you're bad or that anyone was wrong. It's just that that connection was not a part of God's plan for your life, and it sets off, God can set off a chain of events that will cause a severance. And when your destiny is not tied to someone or something, God has to pull you out. Now, it might hurt your feelings. It might break your heart. It might cause you to grieve and feel the worst pain ever. But God sees the bigger picture. Your sight is limited. God may have to send confusion in order to cause separation, just like he did in Babel. Out of nowhere, suddenly you don't understand a person that you've loved for years. Suddenly, the person that you're close to feels like a stranger. Their language has changed, and you end up going your separate ways. Remember in the book of Acts, chapter 15 and 16, remember Paul and Barnabas? And they were cool. They talked together. They rode together. And then they had a disagreement, and they went their own way. And the Bible was very careful about not pointing any finger about who was at fault. It wasn't that either of them were wrong. They just didn't agree, and they had to go their own separate way. But you know the beautiful thing about that, with them separating? That separation led to multiplication, because now instead of one group of teachers, they broke off into two groups of teachers. And so they were able to teach on different side, different parts of the world, and then that multiplied. They break off, and they start another group. They start teaching. And so that's how growth takes place. So division can lead to multiplication, which is growth, which is how we're fruitful and we multiply. God wants us to multiply, and we can't multiply if we're trying to stick together and not break off and grow and branch off and do our thing that God has assigned us to do. So think about that. And so we can't always fight it, and we can't stay with people forever. Just like when you're a child, you have to break off from your parents and start your own tree. So separation can lead to multiplication. And even when he had to separate the people, they couldn't stay one forever. They had to break off because we needed that diversity. Nevertheless, we are still on a quest for unity. God wants it for us. So how does this work? Because it seems like a dichotomy here. Unity. Now, unity doesn't mean that we're all going to agree or that we have to hang together and be best buds. Unity means that we need to be of the same mind toward one another, to love and do no harm. That can even mean keeping your distance, yet wishing them well. Now let's look at Ephesians 4, 1 through 5. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with longsuffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the spirit of the bond of peace. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in the hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all, in you and all. So even though we go our own way, there is one body. We're still part of that one body. We all have a different role, a different assignment, different spiritual gifts, but we still belong to the same one God. And he said in verse 7, but to each of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Unity can mean that we are unified. We don't have to live together. We don't have to think the same way. But our love and the heart of Christ unites us. And unity isn't even just about groups, the group that we're associated with or individuals that we're associated with. Unity can also mean a unity in your own self, in your own mind. I'm thinking about James, where he talks about the double-minded man who is unstable in all his ways, and he shouldn't expect anything from the Lord. So some of us aren't even unified in our own selves. Some of us have two different personalities within ourselves and conflict within ourselves that hinders us from moving forward. So sometimes it's us that have to create unity of our own way of thinking, our own way of living, and then we will unite with others with the like mind, the mind of Christ. Now back to the scripture, verses 2 and 3. It is like precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garment. Now, it's like a precious oil. And so I wanted to know, what does that mean? Now, in the ancient Middle East, it was common to anoint one's head with oil. Sometimes as a greeting, entering a home, this was done to refresh one receiving the oil and to give a good smell of fragrance that came from the perfume of oils. Unity refreshes and makes a pleasant atmosphere for all. Now, running down on the beard of Aaron, the picture and the words show us that unity is a rich and abundant blessing. As this oil overflowed the head and it came down the beard, it also shows that unity is a rare and precious blessing, because the suggestion that this was the holy anointing oil, which was not to be imitated. Christian unity is far beyond that of common friendship. It is a unity of holiness. That anointing oil poured upon Aaron was the oil of consecration, and it symbolizes his separation from all evil. It was the oil of holiness. The odor of this must have been very agreeable, and it serves here as a metaphor to point out the exquisite excellence of brotherly love. And what a sacred thing must brotherly love be when it can be likened to an oil which must never be poured on any man but the Lord's high priest. The beard of Aaron, the oil upon the priest's head, was good as an instrument of refreshing and greeting, as it would be for anyone else. Yet for Aaron, as the high priest, it was also a part of his consecration to priestly service, which led to so many other good things: service to God and his people, atonement of sins, offerings of peace, fellowship and thanksgiving, compassionate ministry to the people of God. The illustration is wonderful. When there's unity among God's people, it's not only good and pleasant in itself, but it also leads to so many other good things. When the people of God struggle with each other, there are so many other good things that they're not doing and enjoying. God intended the priest to represent his righteousness and salvation to a watching world. Spiritually speaking, this anointing made that possible. Unity among God's people has a similar effect. So now we see why it's so important that we have this unity. Running down the edge of his garments, what an abundant blessing unity is. Like oil poured out so richly that it flows from the head to the beard and down to the very edge of the priest's garment. There is some debate over whether the edge of his garment refers to a collar or the bottom of his robe. But either way, it's an impressive flow of oil. In short, true unity, like all God's gifts, is from above, sowed rather than contrived. It's a blessing far more than an achievement. Descending on the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded his blessing, life forevermore. It's like the dew of Hermon. King David used the second word to picture to show how wonderful unity is among the people of God. It is also like a rich dew that covers Mount Hermon, making it a green and moist. It's a distinct contrast to the dry wilderness he found in other parts of Israel. Unity among God's people makes life thriving and healthy. On this mountain, the dew is very copious, and it refreshes the thirsty ground, and it quickens vegetation. So fraternal concord, falling gently on men's spirits, and linking distant ones together by a mysterious chain, chain of transmitted good will help revive failing strength and refresh parched places. Now, I'm just praying for unity, and I know that we're all so different. There's so much diversity in the world because of our different experiences. We weren't all raised in the same type of home by the same kind of parents with the same rules. We don't all work the same job. We didn't go to the same school with the same type of teachers. So we've all been shaped and molded so differently. And that's not even to mention other parts of the world, other parts of the country where lifestyles vary. But we do have a common thread, and that is Jesus. And I just pray that we will all unite in Jesus, even if we don't act the same, if we don't do the same thing. But I hope that we can put the greater good before our personal preferences and do what is right for the greater good, for God, for the kingdom, for his people, that we could unite on that front. Even if we don't unite on anything else, let us unite through our spirit, the spirit that is filled with the Holy Spirit, that is how we unite, so that we can have what is good and have what is pleasant and live at peace and enjoy life, enjoy what we have, because Jesus did come that we might have life and have it more abundantly, and we have it through him when we dwell together in unity. God bless you and keep you is my prayer. Amen.
Amen, amen. There's a million things that I'm fired up to say, but I know you got a lot of work to do today. So God bless you, Preacher, Pastor Janine. I thank you for your yes, amen, and for preaching, even though that you call it a quick sermon. The Lord, amen, got that work done anyway. But anyway, you get to the rest of your day. God bless you. God keep you and yours, and go bless those who are waiting to be blessed, okay?
Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
Amen. 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 I'm telling you, it is amazing, amen, what the Lord can pull out of us. And that is a powerful sermon. And those of you at Run for Christ Ministries, you've probably heard me talk about that before, the power of oneness. And when they all came together when she was talking about in Genesis, at the Tower of Babel, I think that's chapter 11, God told them in Genesis 1 to be fruitful and multiply and subdue. What he meant by that was one move out from your house. I saw some pictures of pastor folks in New York or in Texas or somewhere with our daughter, amen, and apparently the daughter lives there. So the daughter moved out from her house and went and subdued the area wherever that is, amen. So God is in the blessing business, and God is in the moving business, amen, and he wants us all to come together as one. Jesus said it. When we love one another, show that kind of unity, then the world actually knows that we belong to him. If you want to take part in that unity, listen to this song. And on the other side, we're going to bring you into the body of Christ.
There is a place for me. There is a place for me. There is a place for me in the body of Christ. Yes, there is a place for me. There is a place for me. There is a place for me in the body of Christ. And I belong here. I belong here.
Nice to belong in a world where you sometimes feel unaccepted, unwelcome, don't even understand what's going on. Where did I come from? What am I doing here? And where do I go when I leave? There's one answer to that question. His name is Jesus. That was the question I had so long ago. Amen. I didn't know where I came from. You know, I heard what people said, and I didn't know what I was doing here, and they couldn't tell me that. And then they were kind of unsure about where we go when we leave. It wasn't until my mother and father spoke to me on those issues that I understood where I came from, what I was doing here, and where I go when I leave. They led me to Jesus. Are you ready to get the answers to those questions? Are you ready to become a part of something that is way bigger than we are? Amen. All you have to do is pray this prayer with me. Say, Lord God, creator of all mankind, I am an admitted sinner in need of salvation. Today I confess my sins and place my faith in Jesus Christ for my salvation. Lord God, I believe. In Jesus' name, amen. Welcome to the family, my sister, my brother in Jesus Christ. You are now a Christian, a child of God the Father, through your faith in Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. All you need to do is find and join a Bible-based church in your area. If you live in our area, we would love to have you at RFCM. We're an unashamed Bible-based church. However, if you do not live in this area, Jesus has a Bible-based church right where you live. Here's some info that will help you recognize a Bible-based church in your area. A Bible-based church proclaims the whole counsel of God as revealed in the Old and New Testaments of the Bible. Number two, a Bible-based church has a system to lovingly help members to live a lifestyle that reflects the teachings and values of Jesus Christ. A Bible-based church applies scriptures to every area of life. It looks to provide for all the members of the family. Number four, a Bible-based church will encourage the use of and provide opportunities for members to exercise the use of their gift or giftings. Number five, a Bible-based church is passionate about reaching the lost and teaching the word of God to the saved. And number six, a Bible-based church supports the weak, helps the needy, and encourages the downhearted. When you find a church with these Bible-based characteristics, join it and become all that Jesus has called you to be. However, while you're searching for a Bible-based church in your area, you are welcome to listen to our Blog Talk Radio Bible classes. You can access them simply by going to our church website, RFCM, amen, and clicking on Blog Talk Radio. And that's all over the place when you get there. Ooh, Crystal, where you at, Crystal? Amen. Pop up. I need you to do a pop up. Just press one and pop up. There you go. There she, you popped all the way to the top. What's up? See, that's what happens when you pop up. You pop
Lord,
to
have
the
mercy.
Top. Don't stop when you pop to the top.
Don't stop when
oh,
you
I
pop
feel,
to the
rap
top.
Tune in that.
I cannot. Oh, my God. You
I'm
go
a,
from
I'm
serious
a pop
to a
the
comedian
a
and like,
to the top.
Oh, my goodness. Lord have mercy.
Boom.
You most definitely should have been a
phone.
Comedian. I'm so glad you ain't one of them serious, extra serious preachers that always, oh, Lord, if you smile, if you laugh, you're going to hell. You're going to hell if you laugh. Ain't nothing
They're
funny in this world. You're going to hell.
Church.
How dare you have fun in church? Oh, my
They're
Lord.
Having
I can't
fun. They're laughing.
Oh, how dare they? That is blasphemy.
Blasphemy.
Jesus, blasphemy.
They were so passionate about it, weren't they? Blasphemy.
Oh, God, please.
It's a stone.
Maybe they made it passionate and hypocritical all at the same time. Like,
all at the same time.
Don't even go together. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I can't. It's too much. It's too much. Well, I know Janine
Unity.
Said that she was going to preach real quick and fast, but she didn't. It came out, and it came out like it always does. If she would not have told us that she had somewhere she needed to be, I would not have even known that she was going through it quick. Like, she didn't. She laid it out like she always does. And like you said, you know, she said yes, even though, you know, she has to go and deal with a difficult situation. So, but, you know, wherever she is and wherever she goes, she has a spirit of calm and tranquility, and she can make anybody and anything feel that much better. Like, she is amazing, and she's so peaceful and tranquil, and her spirit is so beautiful. So I know wherever she has to go and wherever she has to be today, she is definitely going to be uplifting broken hearts today. That's for sure. I know she said someone passed.
Amen.
So, that's... of course, we're going to keep her and everyone else in prayer for that, because that's hard to deal with. And that's what she does for a living. So we know that God has graced her to be that peace in the midst of that storm that people are dealing with when it comes to losing a loved one. So they got the Jesus got the right one on the job. Because me, oh, good Lord. I'll be all right. Oh,
Jesus. Me. Picture me in a hospital full of needles and IVs.
Okay.
And that's why I pray that no Running for Christ ministry member gets sick. And if they
Hello.
Go to the hospital, Jesus heal them before they even lay their head
yes.
back on the bed. Get them out of there. Pray
they don't be in there long. Praise God. They don't be in there long. You know, I thought about, like, this whole COVID situation, and I got sent home to work, and I was only supposed to be home for a week, and I have not yet physically been back into our office. I know they're getting things supposedly ready for us to return to work, and, you know, but because I know the Lord and my relationship with him is getting deeper, and I'm coming to know him more, you know, we have to look past what we see to see what's really going on. I'll never forget, you know, with Dr. Tony Evans, if all you see is what you see, then you don't see all that there is to be seen. And, you know, we know that there's a rush situation, you know, with the vaccines and all of these things, but we really do have to still be mindful that this thing is still real and that people are still, you know, losing their lives. God is so good, and he's been so merciful. And in the midst of this entire pandemic, when you talk about needles and stuff like that, and you talk about Run for Christ ministry members, you know, anybody who has been sick and been in and came in and went out, and my son, by him working at a grocery store, he's been an essential worker this entire time as a kid, you know, as a whole child, he's been working, and he's never had the luxury of not being, you know, able to keep a 6-foot distance from people. You had a grocery store, you on top of people all the time. And I have truly been blessed that neither him nor I have, you know, tested positive for COVID, and we've been able to be, you know, safe from it. So I know that the Lord answers prayer, because that was really a scary time for me. You know, my child is out here working. Should I keep him working? Should I not? And, you know, just God is merciful. And, like, when Terrence preached, he preached, but he prayed. He actually did altar call. But, you know, the song that was played before he came on about God answers prayers, he hears your prayers, and he answers them. So when we come together as a collective body of Christ, united, like Janine preached today, speaking about unity and us being one, God hears that. God hears us. We are all a part of the body of Christ. That song, I belong here, there is a place. I didn't cry when you played it today. I was good today. And that's one of my favorite songs now. It's like right up under We Gonna Be All Right by Ty Tribbett. That song that you played, I Belong Here, is number two for me, because we really all do have a place in the body of Christ. Not in this world. We're not of this world. We belong to the Lord. And when we all realize that and we come together, we become one. You know, and there's so many things that in the body of Christ we can do. We are so powerful when we come together. And so it really is about us coming together and being one and uniting in the word and uniting as one in Christ so we can be powerful. We got the victory anyway. You know, we already won. But we still need to come together and be one. You know what I'm saying? That makes sense.
Exactly.
That makes sense to me.
The same page. You know what I'm saying? You know, how can we all be Christians and every one of us reading from a different page? That's Jesus said. Now look, somebody coming to church, y'all in there hollering out in tongues, they're gonna think y'all crazy. Get on the same
page. Crazy. Get on the same page. Amen. Amen. So that's what it means to be, you know, united and being one and having a place here. And look, if you feel like you don't fit in this world, if you feel like, you know, it's all about belonging. Even from a kid, you know, we feel like we want to be a part of something. We want to be included in something. No one wants to be left out. So the entire time, from the time we realize that being a part of something is important to us, we're constantly looking to be welcome and to be connected to something, to say that we belong. But there's nothing in this world that you need to belong to. You need to belong to the body of Christ, because that's where it's at. So if you don't belong to Jesus, I'm going to need you to belong to Jesus. Amen. Amen. Pastor, you've already made it easy for that to happen. The doors of the church have been kicked wide open, but guess what? You don't need an invitation. Okay. Amen. All right. So before I get to keeping on, I'm going to read these announcements. Amen. Amen. That's what I'm going to do today on Saturday. Saturday. Yeah. What's
Jesus, yeah, before you get going, Jesus say, you know what? Jesus say, both of y'all are completely crazy. I say, why
crazy.
You gotta include me with her? She completely crazy.
Crazy.
I completely crazy. She completely
crazy. I'm telling y'all. That's why y'all keep telling me, you need to preach. You a preacher, you a preacher. Y'all don't understand. If I was to preach a sermon, I would never stay on topic because I don't do well with notes. So I would have to talk from the top of my head, and you would get like 25 sermons in like 30 minutes because I would be all over the place. Okay?
Oh, God.
I'm telling you, y'all, how in the world do you end up meeting somebody you never knew, and she could be your sister. Hello. You see what I'm saying? So all y'all out there who want me to be a preacher, y'all will be confused at the end of whatever sermon I preach. Y'all be like, what was she talking about? First she was talking about sinning, now she's talking about belonging, then she was talking about... Yeah, y'all will be confused because I don't do notes, and so I will just be talking off the top of my head. Y'all ain't about that life, okay? Y'all ain't ready for that. So I'm going to do these announcements. This is my job. This is what I do, and this is what I do well. So, amen. Praise the Lord. Good morning, y'all. Happy Saturday. To all of our Blog Talk Radio listeners out there, old and new, who tuned in this morning to our Saturday morning worship service, it was a wonderful, wonderful service. Intense, super intense. It was a beautiful thing, and I loved it. And I'm so glad that I get to be a part of not only Run for Christ Ministries, but the Blog Talk Radio platform. I mean, who would have ever knew? But nevertheless, here we are. And so I'm not sure if she's still on the line, but we always want to say thank you to the pastor of the hour. So today was Pastor Janine Folks, just amazing. She brought us the word today, and she's always ready to bless us with a word from the Lord. And so we thank her, for her faithfulness
and her consistency and her obedience. And like Pastor O said, you know, even in the midst of everything that she had to deal with today, she still said yes, and she brought us a beautiful word. And so we thank God, you know, for her faithfulness and her consistency and her obedience, and we pray that you all were blessed in some way by what you heard today. Amen? Amen. So, Running for Christ Ministries, as we all know, the physical, lonely, sad, empty building is still located at 27085 West Outer Drive in Ecorse, Michigan. As you know, we have our Bible reading classes that are held on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Deacon Charles MacMahon is coming on this week teaching in 1 Chronicles chapters 14 through 19. The questions have been emailed, and they are online for you to access. Just go to rfcm.org under Bible classes, and you will find them there. Amen. Amen. Don't forget every Tuesday, 4 o'clock, Reverend Richard Overall is here on Blog Talk Radio teaching and preaching in his series, Training Day. If you're not listening, I promise you, you're missing out, okay? So set yourself a reminder each week and tune in at 4 p.m. for Training Day. Amen. Amen. So Sunday, May 23rd, that's tomorrow already. Good Lord. We will be having our Sunday worship service as usual, beginning at 9:30 a.m. with Sunday School with Associate Pastor Jonathan Tate as our teacher for 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And our service will continue on at 10 a.m. With our Sunday worship service with Pastor O, bringing us the word for the day. Amen? Amen. So make sure to tune in tomorrow at 9:30 a.m. And on the fourth Wednesday of every month, from 11:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. from now until November, First Fruit Living Ministries and Minister Shelley, Pastor O, anybody else who wants to join in, please feel free. They will be out in front of Run for Christ Ministries. There's a bus stop right there, praying with people, rededicating, restoring people back to and back in Christ, giving out Bibles, giving out lunches, having conversations, all about Jesus. Amen. So if you're able to make it out, please do. Again, it's the fourth Wednesday of every month, beginning at 11:30 a.m. Amen? Amen. So as a reminder, all of our classes and our services here on Blog Talk Radio are recorded, archived, free. Go to our church website, rfcm.org. On the Blog Talk Radio tab, you'll have access to all of our classes and services, again, for free, 24/7, 365. You can download them, share them, and be blessed by them. Amen? So use them in your Christian walk. They're free. Who doesn't like free stuff? We're not asking for no credit card numbers. We're not asking for no memberships. We just want you to hear the word of God. And you can go on our church website and hear them for free. Over 1,200 classes and services. That's a lot for free, okay? Amen, amen. If you would like to bless us at Running for Christ Ministries with a free will love offering, if you're a member and you want to pay tithes or give anything additional, rfcm.org, of course, is the place for you to go. We would like to continue to thank everyone that faithfully and continually gives to Running for Christ Ministries, even though we're not physically present in the building. Of course, because you continue to support, we've already made some time ago our first installment towards all of our outreach ministries that we support: Forgotten Harvest, Salvation Army, Detroit Rescue Mission, Covenant House, Bondage Breaker Ministries, Gleaners, and First Fruit Living Ministries. Amen. Praise God. So we know that these ministries help lots of hurting and struggling people in different capacities all year long. So we praise God for you. God bless you and thank you. And if you want more info on our outreach, of course, rfcm.org is the place to go. Amen. Amen. So in addition to this, if you want to give a love offering for the preacher who brought the word for us today, which was Pastor Janine, you can send her your love offerings to her Cash App, which is the $ and Janine, J-A-N-I-N-E, F as in Frank, O-L-K, S as in Sam, or to her PayPal at www.paypal.me/ S as in Sam, T as in Tom, A-R, B as in Boy, I-O, S as in Sam, all right? And if you missed that, you can also visit our church website, rfcm.org, under tithes and offerings, and under that tab, you will see preacher offerings info, okay? All right. So we know that prayer is simply talking to God, and it's essential to bringing heaven down to earth. John 15:5 says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8 says, the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. So do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. Now, we have been commanded to seek God in all that we do, and he promised to be with us at all times. Therefore, it is our responsibility to unite as one in the body of Christ, serving in the purpose that God has created for us. Amen? Amen. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18 says, rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances. Amen? All circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And so we ask your prayers for those who are sick, shut in, one another, and of course yourself. Don't forget to pray for our children, mine, yours, theirs, everybody's, our nation, our world, our leaders, those who are missing and exploited, being trafficked and abused, especially all of our brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world who are being persecuted for belief, for their belief, excuse me, and service to the Lord. Amen. Special prayers go out to all of our mothers that Run for Christ Ministries, Mother Cheryl, Mother Louisa, Mother Irma, Mother Marilyn, and Mother Persia. Also, don't forget to pray for Tyrone Hamilton and Pastor John Mack. Amen. Pray for all those who are spiritually lost and confused, remembering Acts chapter 1, verse 8, which says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, which today is your household, Judea, which is today your community, Samaria, which is outside of your community, to places maybe where you wouldn't normally go, and to the ends of the earth. And these are places that you never thought you'd go, never even knew existed. Well, of course, we know that they need the word of God too, and it's our job to spread the gospel of our Savior, Jesus Christ, so that no souls are left behind. Amen? Amen. So Psalm chapter 34, verse 8 says, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Matthew chapter 5, verse 4 says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Romans chapter 12, verse 15 says, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 says, but let us not mourn as those who have no hope. Psalm chapter 30, verse 5 says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. So when you're sad or heartbroken over the loss of a friend or a loved one, or even with the loss that we constantly are just, it's just there no matter where we look, social media, the news, no matter where, you know, we see it, we hear it, and we read about it all over the world. Use these scriptures as well as many others to give you strength and encouragement that only the word of God can give you. Amen. So with that, we ask that you please continue to keep those who are bereaved and hurting in your thoughts and prayers. And we always pray God's comfort, healing, love, and peace upon you. Amen. So one of the ways that God meets our needs for companionship is through the church. And we know with this pandemic, people have quarantined, people have been alone and lonely for quite a long time. But when we trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior, we become one not only with him, but every other believer. The church is called the body of Christ, and one of its purposes is to meet our need for person-to-person connection. A spiritual body works much like a human one. Parts are both independent and interdependent, each needing others in order to function well. To be spiritually and emotionally healthy, we all need support from our brothers and sisters in Christ. In his letter to the Ephesian church, Paul emphasizes Christ-like character qualities that make this possible: humility, gentleness, patience, tolerance, and love. He also admonishes or urges believers to accept one another. That's Romans chapter 15, verse 7, and to bear each other's burdens. And that's Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. So you see, we're all part of the body of Christ, and we need each other. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16 says, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Blessings are not always in the form of money or things, and a smile or a kind word goes a long way. But the gift of love, well, that's free. So take time out today to be a ray of sunshine to someone, because as Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 and 2 says, Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, you may have entertained angels without even knowing it. Amen? Amen. So happy birthday to all of the Blog Talk listeners all around the world who celebrated this past week or who are celebrating today. Y'all know how we do it at Run for Christ Ministries. We send special love and birthday wishes out to our family members who celebrated this month. We only had two. So we had Joyana, who celebrated on the 8th, so happy birthday to her. And Deacon Brother Rayfield Rogers, amen, he celebrated on the 19th, and he didn't even kill me or cuss me out when I told him happy birthday on his actual birthday. He didn't mention nothing to me about mentioning his birthday all month long on Blog Talk Radio. So I think I got the green light, so now I don't have to be scared no more, amen? Amen. So happy, happy birthday to you guys. And last but not least is your devotional for today. And it's titled, Recognize Your Vulnerability. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 through 13 reads, so if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Amen? Amen. So some Christians see a fellow believer fall into sin, but fail to acknowledge that they too could stumble. You know, those perfect people that think, oh, I don't never sin. I don't never do nothing. I'm always right with the Lord. Okay, that's dangerous. Satan has them right where he wants them, deceived by a false sense of three enemies are constantly at work trying to bring us down, the devil, his world system, and our own treacherous flesh. Even though believers have a righteous standing before God, we must each, like Paul, acknowledge an internal problem, sin which dwells in me. Amen, which is Romans chapter 7.
Okay, well, there's something new. Oh, let me turn this monitor down. There's something new. Crystal has been cut off. I'm sure when she figure it out, she'll probably call right back in and right in the middle of the devotion. Amen. See, if I wouldn't listen, I wouldn't even know that. But anyway, I'm going to give her a second to get back in here. I don't know if she's going to make it or not. Amen. But there we go. Amen. Okay. Don't look like she know yet. Because sometimes when you cut off, you can hear it in your phone. But so I've done a whole two-hour show and then got to the end and wondered and looked at my switchboard and saw my mic wasn't open. Yeah, a whole 2 hours. And my mic wasn't open. Needless to say, I was not a happy camper. Amen. Anyway, Crystal will be back tomorrow, and she can complete her announcements then. We thank God for each and every one of you who tuned in. Thank God for Deaconess Kathy Clyburn, who was in traffic but then found a parking lot to do what she does. I love Blog Talk Radio. It doesn't matter. And Janine preaching inside the car. Cannot thank God enough for all of you. I want to thank God for Keela. Amen. That's my niece. I thank God for her and for her fam, and thank God for Pastor Terrence Tate. Always bring us a hearty prayer to the Lord. Talk to God like he right there in the room. Amen. And we thank God for each and every one, especially Kat. I call her Cadillac anyway. She is the one who brings all these folks together so that we can have this show. I only have to contact the preacher. And I especially want to thank Pastor Janine Folks for squeezing us into her time. We talked earlier this morning, and she only had a little bit of time, was under a whole lot of pressure, but you see how she made quick work of that pressure. Amen. Turn that pressure into something precious, and that's what the Lord wants us to do. So with that, I'm simply going to say, may the Lord bless and keep you, and may he make his face to shine on you and give you peace. Uh-oh, somebody trying to steal my sermon for tomorrow. Going to talk about perfect peace. So tune in tomorrow if you want to know how to get perfect peace and how to stay in perfect peace. And I want to thank Pastor Terrence Tate. It's something he quotes all the time that put the sermon in my mind. Amen. God bless you. God keep you. And we'll see you on tomorrow if the Lord say the same thing. Bye.
somebody, look at somebody and tell them, I need you.
I need you.
You need me.
You need me.
We're all apart.
We're all apart of God's body.
Stand with me.
Stand with me.
Look at somebody, tell them, agree with me.
Agree with me.
We're all apart.
We're all a part of God's body.
It is His will.
It is His will that every need be supplied. You are important to me. I need you to survive.
Tell your neighbor.
You are.
One more time, come on, open your mouth and say, I need you.
I need you.
Let me hear you. You need me.
You need me.
Oh, we're all.
We're all a part of God's body.
Stand with me.
Stand with me.
Agree with me.
Agree with me. We're all a part of God's body.
It is His will.
It is. Thank you.
clap your hands, everybody.